Hello. Welcome to The Last Show Podcast. My name is Courtney Shane Williams. I'm the host of The Last Show Podcast. I'm a stand-up comedian based out of Tampa, Florida. This is how it gets down, man. You can subscribe to the show. Please subscribe, follow, rate, review, follow, whatever you got to do with the show. Make sweet music together. Let's make sweet harmony. With this here show, The Last Show Podcast, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn Radio, website, CourtneyShaneWilliams.com, Instagram, Twitter, at Courtney Shane, that's K-O-R-T-N-E-Y, Shane, follow me, rate, review the show. I am a stand-up comedian. You can get all the dates of where I'm performing on my website this weekend. By the time y'all hear this, well, I won't be anywhere by the time y'all hear this. By the time y'all hear this, I might not have power. Apparently, this hurricane stuff got real, man, so... By the time I hear this, we'll see. But today is Tuesday. It's 2:52 East Coast time, and I'm cranking this one out just because I need to crank one out. There's a lot of stuff on my chest. But I will be in Oklahoma City at the Looney Bin this weekend, starting tomorrow. But I'm not, you know, it's a hurricane came, man. I guess it's going to be a Category 1, too. And it's coming right to my house. If you ever want to know notice, where does Courtney live? Check the Weather Channel. That swinging circle of Satan, that is over my house in about 5 minutes, okay? So that's where I live, man. But this is the show. I'm a stand-up comedian based out of Tampa, Florida. Subscribe, check me out. August 27th and 28th, big dates for me. I'm working with 800-pound Gorilla Records. Round of applause. And I will be at Laughs Comedy Club in Seattle, Washington. Tickets are on sale now. Is this the first podcast I've done since? No. I did another one. Yeah, because I did a podcast talking about, you know, my album, which I won't bore y'all with this time. You know, I've already gotten the publicity out of y'all. You know, it's time for me to do my job. But tickets are on sale now. You can go to my website, get tickets there. It's on every platform now. Now, a cool thing, by the way, follow me on Spotify. If you follow me on Spotify, you can go to my profile and you can see where I'm performing. And on those performances, you'll see I'll be in Seattle. You can buy tickets straight off the Spotify links, man. However you want to get to it, just get to it, man. Thank you guys for joining the show. Oh, man, a lot to talk about. I did want to do this podcast today because I'm not sure how much. I am sleepy. And not even, like, sleepy, like, oh, man, I had a rough, no, dude, like, I'm falling asleep right now. My eyes are closing. I'm doing this show with one eye open like CVS. Like, that's what I'm doing. Shout out to Hove. That's the way this show's going down right now. Like, I am tired. Like, I'm tired to the point that, like, you know, it's 2 o'clock. Like, you know, I'm not driving anywhere because I might fall asleep at the wheel. And I don't know about y'all, but when you're falling asleep at the wheel at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, people assume you're on substances. You know what I mean? And you know what they say about assumption? Tends to make an assumption about yourself, you know? And I'm not trying to be an assumption. An assumption comes with a blurb in the obituary section, you know? Especially 2 o'clock in the afternoon, swerving. Y'all might not know the neighborhood I live in. Not the kind of neighborhood you want to swerve. You want to make sure your tag's in order. You want to make sure you caught up on all your court dates. Did you have jury duty? If you skip that, you might want to stay at the crib, man. But I am tired. My birthday may or may not have been this weekend. And I say may or may not because it may or may not be none of your business. If you had no idea I didn't have a birthday this weekend, it probably wasn't for you to know. But I turned 37, and that's why I'm struggling right now. I was struggling going into the week. That's one thing about age. People ask, like, oh, do you feel 35 or do you feel 37, 40? And I assume it progressively gets worse. It's like you just can't shake off the nights the way you used to. That's really what changes, at least for me. Like, I went into, you know, the weekend of my birthday being like, oh, man, I've been tired all week working hard. Oh, man, good thing I got a birthday. And then I proceeded to do more damage to my body. And thinking it's going to bounce back, dog. This ain't no rubber ball no more, dog. This is not a rubber ball. See, because you start off with one of them bounce balls. Remember them bounce balls? You get them for like a dollar. I mean, they're big as a Shaq's fist. And you get it for 25 cents. You know what I mean? You put, well, now, yeah, it's a dollar. You put 4 quarters, you turn it when you walk out of the grocery store, and they give you a ball, and it's hard as a rock, dog. You couldn't break this ball with a diamond, okay? And then you just start slinging the ball, and it bounces all crazy. It's a Super Bowl. That's what they call it, and it bounces all crazy. And that's how your life starts. And as things go away, that ball changes, okay? And it starts being able to take more damage. And it don't bounce back the way it used to. Because you might start with, like, a Super Bowl, but at the end, you got a medicine ball. There's lumps in it. You can work the lumps out of a medicine ball, but you got to stop and take notice of damage that's been done, all right? You can't just keep slinging a medicine ball around like ain't nothing going on. That's close to the phase I'm at right now, okay? And eventually, you go to shot put. That's the last level, all right? You start Super Bowl, you transition into medicine ball, and eventually, you got a shot put, okay? You throw that if you want to, but it's going to do more damage to the people around you, and you're never back. Oh, you're never back. Once you've thrown a shot put, you've taken life off that shot put. It never is the same again. You take a hammer, and take it. Even better, dog. You throw a shot put against the pavement, a piece of metal is going to chip off. You can't get that metal back on. You can try to gorilla glue, super glue, crazy. It's over for that, dude. And that is what your life is. So I'm somewhere in between the Super Bowl, medicine ball portion of my life. And I'm struggling, man. So we're here. That's the reason there's no video, by the way. There's no video of this show. Because I'm too tired to do a video, meaning I don't want y'all to see how I look right now. I mean, I don't look terrible, but I'm not proud of it. I'm not proud of what I'm doing right now. You know what I mean? I'm proud of the product, but I'm not proud of the way I look, okay? I don't know. This t-shirt is one. It was somewhere in my closet. That's all I know, man. But this is the Last Show Podcast. Thank you for tuning into the show. All right. Bill Cosby. So I've talked about Cosby on this show plenty of times. You guys know I'm a comedian. Getting into comedy, dude, Cosby was like the only comedian that was allowed to really be played in my house. Like my parents, I grew up in a conservative household. Your parents, mom and dad in the house, whole thing. Nuclear family. Like we were the Huxtables. At least you thought, you know, until the parents got divorced. And they were like, what? I thought y'all were in here. Now, yeah, we had some problems. But no. We had the whole the persona, balanced life, conservative household. So like, my parents, they don't curse. They didn't curse in the house and alcohol. Basically, everything I do now, my parents told me not to do. You know what I mean? This is the reason my eyes ain't opening. It is 2 o'clock, 3 days after my birthday. This is why. Okay, so Cosby was one of the comedians that we were allowed to play in the house, you know what I mean? Because he was a cleaner comedian, and he was a real role model of how you want to live your life, all right? Oh my, that's thunder. All right, we're almost done with this one. So, Cosby's out of jail on a technical, bottom line is, he shouldn't have been able, basically, not double jeopardy, but he shouldn't have been able to be tried based on the testimony he gave during this deposition, where he admitted to drugging women. That's right. Bill Cosby admitted to drugging women with the intent of having sex with those women in a deposition for a civil case. But part of that was there supposedly an agreement that if he does this testimony, you can't then go try him for these crimes. So they use that testimony to put him in jail. So he ends up getting out of jail on this technicality, which, by the way, may or may not exist. I got to say that because there is this, not even assertion, there's reporting out there that said there was actually no agreement. They just came up with this agreement over like the last month. And because they put out a press release of this thing and this agreement, all of a sudden it became this binding thing, which is something that happens when you have good lawyers. Most people in Bill Cosby's situation, and by most, I mean all, they stay in jail. That's the way it works. I think they said Bill Cosby's had 29 lawyers. 29 lawyers. You're not going to do that. People going up and you get public attorneys, a public defense. Like, you're never getting out, man. So, while you can say, and it's true, if they had this, you know, agreement, that, you know, Bill Cosby was done dirty. This was something that was supposed to be in confidence and now it's public. He should be out. That can be true. What also can be true is Bill Cosby's a rapist. Like, that's just what it is, dog. It's just what it is. I'm not going to defend Bill Cosby, dog. First of all, I don't know Bill Cosby. And the more I get to know about Bill Cosby, he seems like the type of person I don't want to defend. You know what I mean? I got plenty of cousins, plenty of family that's been to jail, in jail right now. I know criminals, dog. And just because I'm not co-signing on them either, dude. And ain't none of them raped anybody, okay? I don't know Bill Cosby. So, like, somebody like Felicia Rashad comes out who has a relationship with Bill Cosby, and she can speak to the character of Bill Cosby that she knew or she believes she knows or she think you should know. If that's the way Felicia Rashad wants to get down, go on ahead, dog. But if you think I'm going to listen to Felicia Rashad's opinion and try to fall on Bill, dude, all I know is you're a rapist, dog. You said you gave women drugs with the intent on having sex with them. That's wild. Don't judge him, Joe Brown. Joe Brown went out there and showed his keister on the Mark Lamont show defending a rapist, defending rape culture, defending victim shaming himself. Preposterous, deplorable behavior. If you're looking for the defense of Bill Cosby, you need to go ahead and listen to the Judge Joe Brown podcast. This right here is the Last Show podcast, and I'm just going to put it like I say it. Or I'm going to just say it like it is. He's a bad dude, man. Now, you can be a bad dude and make good art. Like, those things aren't mutually exclusive. The Bible says that the gifts are without remission, which means people are gifted. Like, God ain't just going to take the gift back. It's not the way it works. The devil was an angel. You know what I mean? He got kicked out of heaven. He didn't take the gifts back. Dude, he just got kicked out, okay? Bill Cosby's funny, gregarious, great businessman, good at TV, fought for black colleges, donated money. All those things can be true and a rapist, you know? And it's not even something I have to dissect and think about and how do I feel? No, it just is what it is. Once it's 1, 2, 3, the stories become similar. Next thing you know, you get up to 59 women accusing you. What's so cool about Bill Cosby that 59 women got accused of him of something? 59? Oh, man, they just out to get me. If 59 women put cases on you, there's nothing left to get. I mean, dude, I know you balling out of control. And that's just the ones we know. We only know of 59. Think about it. Think about how many times you've done something wrong and got away with it. You get away with it far more than you get caught. And if somebody's comfortable enough to just drug women and have sex with them, and it's the culture of what they were living in at that time, which all of them would say, imagine the amount of people that either didn't know it happened to them, or it happened to them and they were ashamed of it, or it happened to them and they felt like it was their fault. Imagine a serial rapist, dude. I'm not defending it. It is one of those things, though, because I got like this Bill Cosby book, because one of the reasons Bill Cosby went down actually has nothing to do with him being a terrible person. The reason he went down is because of his respectability politics. And him talking bad about black people. And him trying to tell people how to live their life. And then Hannibal Buress gets on stage. He does a riff off a comedian. Shouts out to live comedy, man. He does a joke about, Bill Cosby telling people, pull your pants up. He's like, yo, dude, you rape people. And he said it. Just like that. Video goes viral. Bill Cosby goes down. That's part of it, man. It's respectability politics. Which, by the way, some of those things I hold to be true, even though I don't project because I'm not sure it's serious enough or that it's necessarily my job. But I got a book by Bill Cosby, which I think I stole, by the way. And I'm wondering, what should I do with this book? I don't want to make light of the situation, but what should I do with my Bill Cosby book? Okay. Like, should I put it in one of those free little libraries? You know what I mean? Just pick a neighborhood. What do you do with your Bill Cosby? I mean, I got a bunch of Bill Cosby records. I don't plan on throwing those away. You know what I mean? Those are records. I can tuck them away and act like they don't exist. But this Bill Cosby book is in my bookshelf. Like, people came to the house over the weekend. Was like, hey, come on, people. My Bill Cosby. Oh, man, what are we doing, dog? You got a Bill Cosby book, dog? I got to get rid of this book. I would donate the book, but you know what I mean? I don't want the book to get in the wrong hand, like the Anarchist Cookbook. I don't want somebody getting ideas. So I'm thinking of dropping it off at one of those free little libraries, I could leave it at a doctor's office, especially if it's a doctor that like charged me too much money. I could just leave it in the lobby. I could leave it on the airplane. I could do that. Recycle. You can always do that. A library. Leave it in a library. I could do that. But I have a Bill Cosby book. You guys that follow me on Instagram and Twitter, let me know. That was Instagram and Twitter, by the way. I just got tired and cut it off. what should I do with the Cosby book? It's the Last Show podcast. Thank you for tuning in to the last show. And it's called the last show because this may be it. Welcome back to the Last Show podcast. That's Cruising by Smokey Robinson. You're gonna fly away. Oh, I like it when we're cruising together. All right, man. So this song is dope. Probably I wouldn't say breakout song. What was the breakout song for Smokey Robinson? I am 37 years old. I have no idea what Smokey Robinson did to break out in his career. I just thought he was always Smokey Robinson. I mean, it's a light-skinned brother with hazel eyes. Seems like he already had given a leg up on life. I don't think Smokey was slumming it with everybody else, Doc. Smokey always had that Mac on him, man. Smokey Robinson and the Miracles. You start out with the group, and then you just look around and it's like, yeah, I got to leave the group. It's like, this is where Beyonce got the blueprint. You know, Smokey already told you, hey, man, you can't be carrying them girls the rest of your life. Get them off your back and get that bread. Smokey Robinson cruising. Dude, so I'm about to start working back on a cruise again. That's right, dude. I just played cruising because I'm going back on a cruise. What can I do? I may or may not be nervous about working on cruises. And if you don't know, when I'm going out on a cruise, it's probably because it's none of your business. You know, so it's one of those things again. If you don't know when I'm working on a cruise and you don't know my birthday, chances are it's not for you to know. But I'm like nervous about the whole thing because like my thing is like, obviously, it's a pandemic going on. And all these things done during a pandemic in a crowd make you feel a little uneasy, right? So you're taking every precaution you may take. But even take precautions don't mean nothing. A precaution is in case something happened. You want to know what? Stuff still happens. It's like wearing a seatbelt or having an airbag. You know, the idea that like, oh man, well, if I take this, then I'll be good. It might not necessarily be true. Or if we all wash our hands, it might not necessarily be true. So I'm nervous about getting back to the cruise, but I need that bread. You know, this is still a capitalist environment and I need that money. But it's like the whole thing got to be like, not weird. It's just... because I don't know what the protocol, I don't know what the criteria, to quote the great philosopher Isaiah Thomas, I met the criteria. I don't know what the criteria is, you know, as far as like what they're going to do if, you know, somebody comes in. Because, you know, for you guys thinking about cruising, by the way, all crew members are vaccinated. They're all vaccinated. So it's really the people coming on the ship, not necessarily knowing, you know, maybe their status or what they're doing or what they're, you know, I don't know. It's all touch and go. And everybody has a plan until you get hit. Everybody has a plan. Oh, well, we'll do this if this happens. Well, when everything went down, by the way, I was on the last cruise ship before everything shut down. I got off the cruise ship Wednesday and went back to the port on Friday and all hell broke loose. And there was all these precautions then and those precautions didn't matter. I guess if you get to a dire situation of that proportion, it really don't matter anyways. The whole thing is getting shut down, right? It's kind of like when the pandemic first started. It was like, hey, man, we ain't going to be able to come back for 3 weeks. Try 30 weeks. Try about 3 years. Try, you know what I mean? When is normal? There is no normal, right? But I'm just nervous, that's all. Thought I'd check in and let y'all know I was nervous. Then again, I did survive 4th of July in Florida. I survived the pandemic in Florida. I'm an expert at this point. I mean, I got experience, you know, surviving the apocalypse, dude. That's just what happened, man. It's like an episode of Walking Dead. That's my house, man. 4th of July. No mask required on 4th of July. It's weird because my sister came down. So my sister came up and so we went and saw the fireworks. She was like, this mask thing is just weird, man. She was like, I was like, yeah, you know, because if you're indoors, like, hey, wear a mask. Outdoors, hey, man, get in close. There's no middle. It's like, yo, dog, like, what are the precautions? No, man, we outside, man. It's good. Hey, man, it's good. It's one of those things, like, all other medical conditions that, like, hey, you know, you just assume everybody has it. It's like, what, like remember, like, if you catch, you know, earmuffs, mom. You know what I mean? If you, like, catch herpes or something, they'll be like, hey, you can still spread it without showing symptoms. Yeah, COVID, they're like, hey, bring it in. Let's take a group photo. I was like, yo, dog, why are you coughing into my elbow? It's supposed to be your elbow, son. So, that's what it is. I'm cruising again. Oh, so weird developments happen, man. This Rachel Nichols situation with ESPN, and I'm going deep into the weeds on this episode. Deep into the weeds. You know, when Courtney's tired, he starts talking about his own personal trauma. So, like, Rachel Nichols situation kind of bumps up. Well, not necessarily, because I'm going to talk about the NBA Finals, too. But the Rachel Nichols, basically, there was audio revealed about... It was basically released. It already existed about Rachel Nichols and her feelings about Maria Taylor, who's a black female co-host at ESPN2. Maria Taylor is on Rachel Nichols's corner. And the thing about it is Maria Taylor is like better than Rachel Nichols at the host thing. You know what I mean? There's different kind of hosts, man. Like Maria Taylor, I remember telling my sister, I think I told my wife about 3 or 4 years ago. I'm like, yo, this girl, Maria Taylor, and she was just doing like some sideline stuff for College Game Day. And College Game Day is great. I'm like, Maria Taylor, she's fantastic. She's really, really good. I don't think I've ever said that about Rachel Nichols, but Rachel Nichols is solid. Like really solid, man. Like Rachel Nichols, she does the jump in those shows, and she's good at it. I could do without, she's not good at the monologue to open the show. That's always awkward on the NBA show too. It just seems like they gotta give you the ball for the sake of giving you the ball. Like the NBA, they don't need a monologue. The best studio show in basketball is Inside the NBA. There's no monologue for 5 minutes every day. Like you ain't Conan O'Brien, you ain't in show business. All of a sudden you John Stewart, like, yo, dog, you do basketball, man. Just do basketball. They don't start PTI with a monologue. Just get out of here, man. It's too much talking. So, but Maria Taylor is better at Rachel Nichols outside of Dyke. The energy is just better. You know, the energy is just better. Her distribution of the ball is better. Dude, she gets the jokes. It's just better. She's in tune. I mean, and some of this is cultural, you know? I'm black, so maybe because she's black, a lot of stuff she's relate. Like, when you quoting, you know, the boss, you know, no offense, the Bruce Springsteen, but I don't know the catalog, you know? But if you want to talk about Pastor Troy and them down South Georgia boy, let's say we just go ahead and go to whoa. I got all that. L. Duncan. I got all that. So, it's some of those things going on, too. But... Maria Taylor's contract is basically coming up and she want to make Stephen A. Smith money. And don't we all? Like, we all aspire to get... Like, LeBron James wants to make Stephen A. Smith money. We all do. How so, in this call, you can hear Rachel Nichols basically saying, I understand you got to get more things for Maria Taylor to do. It's a black woman. He goes, I understand that. You know, and I understand, you know, especially the burden of this time alluding to, you know, the racial injustice that, hey, it's a good look for ESPN to look like this, but you ain't got to take stuff from me. Basically, like, yo, she can get hers, figure out how she gonna get hers, but she ain't taking none of mine. I want to do this boring 5-minute soliloquy to open the jump. Like, this, my territory is boredom, and you better keep her off my block. And my thing is like, yo, and it's similar to, I don't know all the details, and I haven't listened to Laboratory yet, but I'm sure Jemele Hill is going to have something to say. I'm sure Carrie Champion is going to have something to say. I'm sure Michelle Beadle is going to have something to say. I'm sure every female voice and even some male voice are going to have something to say about how that is operated. I'm sure there are people that don't like Stephen A. Smith and the money he makes. I'm sure. That's the way it is. Some of that is competitiveness, and some of it is it may in fact be true. And if, and I'm not even gonna say if, she said on the call, that is exactly what Rachel Nichols was articulating. And the idea of like, yo, find a different platform for her that ain't mine. Cool. So, if that's the case and that's the way ESPN runs their business, which they have the right to run their business the way they want to run their business. If you go back, what, 5 years or so when Highly Questionable came out and High Noon comes out. These are all shows I like that got removed, by the way. And Highly Questionable and Levitard started going to a national radio show. Then they took over a better time slot. Their Levitard show ended up taking over, was it Colin Cowherd's slot? They took that slot over. And at the same time, you know, you got The Six, you got Jemele Hill. All these shows that I enjoyed, all these shows that ended up taking the slots and spots of other people. Could you imagine some comments behind closed doors might be like, yo, I like Bomani and Pablo. It's all cool with Michael and Jemele, but find them something else to do that's not The Six. Find them something on ESPN News that's not mine. Find something. When those people are better than you. Maria Taylor has to be flabbergasted by the disrespect of Rachel Nichols, dog. If I'm Maria Taylor, you got to show me the place and time, dude. She's better than Rachel Nichols. She's Michelle Beadle, by the way. Don't know exactly what happened there. I'm sure she'll tell it. Michelle Beadle was fantastic. Michelle Beadle was better than all of them. Better than all of them, dog. So, it's just something. Now, couple that into this. So, this goes crazy over the weekend. Monday, I guess, they start to jump. And while, you know, I mean, I'm sure Rachel Nichols was mad about this. She didn't get to do her 5 minute soliloquy. She had to apologize for 15 seconds of the beginning of the show. Then Richard Jefferson and Kendrick Perkins on the show. So, of course, they speak to the character of Rachel Nichols. And I know Rachel and I love Maria and I work with Maria and Richard Jefferson. I love Rachel and I've known her for 20 years and I know your heart. That one always gets me, by the way. Even though it's probably something I would say in the same position. So, I mean, it's my flaw too. But when someone does something bad, like, hey man, you know, I know they killed three people. He kneeled on that guy's neck for 15 seconds, but I know his heart. He's a good man. I don't care about your heart. Don't tell me about the labor. Show me the baby. I don't care about your heart. Ain't nobody paying you for heart, dog. Dude, when the rent's due, you can't pay it. Hey, man, these are just my emotions. Well, I know your heart. The landlord don't want heart. Heart don't go as far as money does, dog. Show me what you did, okay? But I know your heart and whatever. It's interesting that this white woman and Rachel Nichols would have these things to say or the assertions about a black woman and Maria Taylor, and now you got black dudes out there defending the white woman while representing the black woman well, but you're putting these dudes in this situation where now they got to defend the white woman. And I'm just being real, all the Black Lives Matter and all the racial inequality and walking off sets and boycotting. Man, I hate saying this, but it had to be a long conversation for you to put this brother on stage doing that. Now, I got a family to feed, and I mean, if that's my jobs, like, that's different. You know what I mean? The welfare of my family supersedes a lot of my dignity. A lot of my dignity. But man, that's a long ride home. That's a lot of rationalization to have Rachel Nichols issuing this apology on behalf of her and Maria Taylor and her family, and then to put the two brothers on stage to defend the white woman. It wasn't a good look. It just wasn't a good look. And I'm sure those points have been raised. I'm sure it might have been even something raised with Maria Taylor, Jalen Rose, Jay Will, all the other guys that work with them. I'm sure Marcus Thompson and all these, I'm sure it wasn't something that they weren't conscious of the way that looks. But at the end of the day, do you want this job? You got to be a bad boy. That's what it is. So I'd be interested to see how this NBA Finals plays out, because this is Maria Taylor's, I think that her contract is up. Her last assignment is this NBA Finals. So I'd be interested to see how this NBA Finals play out. NBA Finals tonight, by the way. I had good timing on the podcast. By the way, I'm not as sleepy as I was 5 minutes ago. Racism really cheered me up. who knew? Who knew, man? I should take a knee during the podcast. I'd be alert as hell, dog. You see me doing jumping jacks. Ah, what is he doing? He's taking a knee. But yeah, I'd be interested to see how this NBA playoffs rolls out, because now the secret is out. Like, ESPN don't cover itself the way they cover other people. Oh, they love telling other people's business. But now, to quote the great Emmanuel Acho, I see you out there, Acho, apologizing for that marijuana. We'll get you. I don't even smoke marijuana, but I'm down with the cause. That's when you know it's real. You know, I'm just here for moral support. I don't want any. But I see you out there, Acho. Acho said, hey, ESPN needs to do a 30 for 30 on itself. I'd love to see that, man. Because there's a real power struggle there. But if you leave ESPN, I mean, where exactly do you go if you want to host, you know, studio sports? You can't go to FS1. You know, you might be doing dog racing. FS1 has all the sports you don't want to see. By the way, FS1, if you need somebody, you know, work out, you know, some kinks in your scheduling, some writing maybe, holla at your boy. But FS1 will have you doing anything, dog. I'm telling you, you'll be doing the Westminster Dog Show. They don't even get the Westminster Dog Show. You know what I mean? You'll be doing dirt track racing, all that other kind of weird stuff. So, interested? Stay tuned. Stay tuned on this situation, how it works out through the rest of the NBA Finals. I got the Milwaukee Bucks winning the championship, which if you're a Bucks fan, you take it the way you take it. Who cares? But also, that means you're stuck with Mike Budenholzer, at least for another 2 years. You can't fire a coach right after they won. Well, I mean, Phil Jackson, I guess. If you're Jerry Krause, if the ghost of Jerry Krause roams around the Bucks locker room, keep it on the swivel, Budenholzer. That dude fired Phil Jackson after 6 championships. But I got the Milwaukee Bucks in the championship. I mean, if Giannis doesn't play, I'd take the Suns. But I think Giannis is going to give it a go. And you know what? Now that I think about it, Phoenix is a smarter bet. But I feel like Milwaukee has a better team. But with Giannis not being healthy, that's probably not the greatest thing in the world. But I go with Milwaukee. I'll rock with Milwaukee. I think Milwaukee is going to win the NBA championship. And, you know, we'll see what happens with Maria Taylor, which I'm far more interested in. You guys, the injuries are ruining the finals. Good. Now I have plenty of time to Google Maria Taylor's Wikipedia. See if we can get it at Stephen A. Smith money. Spo Tracker. Let's wrap up the show. Thank you, you and you, for tuning into the Last Show podcast. Subscribe, rate, review. August 27th and 28th, I'm recording my album in Seattle. Get tickets. Tickets. Get them. This weekend, I'm in Oklahoma City at the Looney Bin. Please check that show out. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I will definitely be there, weather permitting, man. But we're going to have a fantastic time. Please have a great rest of your week. Hopefully, I'll talk to you this weekend, and we can do it again like this. Peace.
I had no idea you could milk a cat.
Oh, yeah, you can milk anything with nipples.
I have nipples, Greg. Could you milk me?
Aha! What do you know from funny, you bastard?
Until next time, take care of yourselves and each other.
I met the criteria to be selected, but I wasn't.
Hasta luego.